This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That actor, Gary Cole, that's from Talladega Nights, right? That clip? He's a good one for, like, his signature movie. Because that's a guy who's in a lot of things. Maybe it's Office Space. He's the boss in Office Space.
Oh, okay.
Lumberg?
All right. Yeah. All
that's right. Probably it.
I was going to say, I don't know the name. You're
Gary Cole?
Yeah, I don't know the actor's name, but I've seen him in a million things. Yeah.
He was on West Wing, Bingo Bob, Brady Bunch movie. One of my favorite all-time movies. One of the best movies I think ever made, the Brady Bunch movie. It was Mike Brady.
Travis, I got to go.
Travis Yost with us from TSN. Available on a lot of cable providers. Travis Yost joining us now on the Wester Hotline. How have you been, Travis?
Are you trying to bait me into getting me right off the rip talking about NHL broadcast rights? I mean, I'm not going there. I'm not getting fired today.
Seeing you make the complaint for, I don't know, the 11 billionth time about it was the only game last night being on the NHL Network, stop me from complaining about it being on the... I happen to get NHL Network on my streamer of choice, but what I didn't get because it wasn't an ESPN Plus game was the opportunity to watch the Canadian feed of the game, which I would have preferred by, like, 11 billion percent.
I think people, two things. One, I think people mistake me for just being always critical of the NHL, especially when it comes to broadcast rights and streaming and whatnot. It's not true, right? Because I think what they're doing today is remarkable. And like, oh yeah, okay, so to make a 16-game rolling every 15-minute funky thing that casual hockey fans are going to turn into, you may only have one standalone game on a Monday. Okay, that's the cost of doing business. What's not the cost of doing business is telling 2/3 of the United States, no, we're not going to give you access to the prime broadcast, but also if you're under the age of 65 and or just so happen to not have rode the wagon of every broadcast partner telling you, yeah, we're putting everything on streaming services, unless you have a bundled cable network or something unique, you don't have NHL Network. And I just don't for the life of me understand how the NHL as a business, forget the hockey thing, as a business goes into hey, we've got this standalone Tampa-Toronto Monday game. How are we going to attract casual fans? We're not. We're just going to shut the gates, and we're just going to appease our broadcast partners. And it's not so much that, oh, well, Amazon's got the rights in Canada. It's the NHL making a choice to do stuff like, we're going to keep putting games on NHL Network that 2/3 of the country doesn't have access to, but also we want to grow our sport. These are just naturally in conflict, and it is maddening when they do stuff like this.
Well, I appreciate you speaking on this issue. It's comforting to hear your voice and hear these kind of takes, like, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy, and so is the Sabre start, right? I mean, forever, since we've known each other, it's kind of the same thing. Do you have any reason yet, and I recognize how early it still is, Travis, but to think that the Sabres can get there this year, is it too early to be this sort of, you know, have this attitude about them? Because I think that I'm probably like most fans who are just sort of so tired and kind of come to expect the worst. So this is kind of what it's looked like so far, close to the worst. Travis? That wasn't that bad a question. It was long.
Tough. I thought maybe it was a bit for a second. Like, I thought he might just be, you know, doing that thing where you're like, I don't want to tell you the truth, so I'm not going to talk at all. I'm just going to leave you silent here after you had that.
Or just pretend that you can't hear.
Right.
So you don't have to say something. I'm sorry, guys. I remember Bauk talking about a couple of phone-in guests over the years that just, like, seemed to him to pretend to not be able to hear us so they could get off the phone. Certain famous college basketball commentator. Travis, we have you?
See, I thought the NHL Network shot got me fired. Yeah. You see what happened there?
They probably did. They're listening.
They're always listening.
I'm offering up you on a glass half full or glass half empty first.
Let's end on full.
All right, so we're going to start with empty. This special teams, holy cow, is it bad. I mean, it is so maddening, and it's not because of a lack of effort. Like, and by the way, I know a lot of the attention has rightfully been spent on the power play, which has zero goals on the season, one of two teams the year. But, like, they are at least trying things. There are 11 players who have played at least 10 minutes already, which, I mean, we're 5, 6, 7 games into the season. They are rotating ample units. They are trying to figure out something that works. But for whatever reason, that the pace of play that they tend to play with at even strength, which I would say skews a little bit more aggressive in a good way, it's like the puck just goes utterly nowhere. And offensively, when they set up, in the fleeting moments that they do, it's a feckless attack. It's very perimeter-based. There's nothing really threatening or challenging. And I do wonder if they are lacking that real top-end finisher or two that, you know, that can almost have a magnetic effect to the defense when you are playing on the man advantage, right? When you've got, and, you know, Ovechkin's always the legacy example of this, but there's plenty of guys around the league that when they're sitting in the circle, the defense has to either recognize it and respect it, or they don't, and you make them pay for it. And I just feel like Buffalo doesn't have any easy answers on the power play. And by the way, the penalty kill's not that much better. The special teams has been so bad, it makes you forget the glass half full piece of this, which is they have been above water at even strength despite this, I would say, mediocre best start to the season. They have been fine at even strength, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they're outscoring expected rates, but they're also giving up goals at a higher rate than you would expect. I think they're like 10th in offense. There's something like 10th in offense. 10th in offense at even strength, and they're like 20th in defensive goodness. But on a net basis, the Sabres are winning at even strength. The problem is, this is still a game where the value of a goal, a single goal, can be so incredibly important. And one, Buffalo is not good enough to blow teams out. And two, when you are reliably getting zero from your power play, and your penalty kill is under siege on most nights, you either have to be an exceptionally dominant 5-on-5 team, or you are just going to miss the playoffs yet again. And so I do think this is very much a glass. You can actually, this is a two-sided coin where you can look at even strength numbers, and especially their top nine. I have no idea what this fourth line that they're even remotely trying out with Sam Lafferty and company. I mean, it's just been awful, but the top nine has been pretty good at 5-on-5. And I think if you want to hang your hat on something and say, hey, look, we're not Anaheim, we're not San Jose, we're in competition, they have been game when even up. It's that they are just giving goals up left and right on the man advantage. Or, sorry, they're leading goals on the table there, and they're giving goals up at clips on the penalty kick.
A terrible combination. Yeah, I don't know what Saturday night in Chicago did to this, but I know before that game they were at 70% on the penalty kill, which is just an awful, awful place to be, coupled with the zero for the power play, and you've got problems. Travis, I don't know how closely you would have been following it. I would imagine not as closely as those of us here in the market. There was a lot of talk in training camp about a revamped philosophically power play. It's not going to be just teeing up Tage Thompson for one-timers. We're going to puck movement, tire them out, and then we pounce. And certainly by Saturday night, if not before that, that was already out the window, and it was just back to trying to tee up one-timers, is because I think they just don't know what to do.
And you can see it clear as day. The biggest tell, or the easiest tell, and this is true really league-wide, when a team does not – now, it's easy to keep units together that are producing, right? Obvious point's obvious. But when teams really don't know what to do, you see things like, oh, they have played – this is no joke – 13 guys on the power play over 7 games. And it's almost maddening. The other piece that I think where my attention draws, to your point, you know, 2 guys are responsible for the lion's share of offensive volume that they've been producing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I'll give you an example. If you are Toronto, I don't want to see Will Nylander, who is a phenomenal player, taking the lion's share of the shots. I want that to be Austin Matthews. And in the case of the Sabres, Cousins and Thompson, I think, make up more than half of the total shot volume from the Sabres. And, yes, they may be 2 of the best weapons in that Sabres rotation. But what I see when I watch this power play unit set up, and I haven't seen every game, I've seen most of the Sabres this year, everything feels slow. Everything feels trying. It doesn't feel like a unit that is just missing corners. They've got the goalie moving post to post, but they're just missing on these opportunities. The bumper's just missing these passes by a half second. It just feels like everything is an effort. It's an effort to get into the zone. It's an effort to maintain structure, and it's an effort to even threaten in the fleeting moments that they've had the structure. I don't know the easy answers here. I mean, this is exactly why you pay real money to a video coach to break every piece to this down, because it absolutely can be environment, who's playing with who. It absolutely can be the setup in the offensive zone. The one thing they do have that some teams don't is they haven't established, like, hey, if we're going to run a four forward power play setup,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's going to be the point man, right? And is he the best option in the blue line league-wide? No. But is he extremely capable and good for a PP1 unit? Absolutely. But if they, then again, you look at what the Sabres are trying. They've played three different defensemen in the power play, right? Byron's played. Power's regularly fixtured. And I think Dahlin leads the team in power play minutes. My point being, I give them a little bit of credit. They clearly have recognized this is not working. And by the way, I don't think this is them hitting a panic button too soon. I think it is absolutely time to panic and need to hit the reset button, even after five games on a base of 40 minutes, because they have just looked so ineffective. But I can say, coming back to your question full circle, whatever they were teaching in the offseason, I would put that in the garbage bin forever. I don't bring it back. I don't want to see it. And let's figure out what November looks like.
Travis Yost on the Westher Hotline. A player you're excited about, or at least optimistic about, I might say power for me. Of course, he was a first overall pick. It's not like he's sort of, you know, an unknown or anything. Blue chip. And then maybe worried about, and I would say Cousins for me, with the great season he had 2 years ago, but not a lot is happening so far.
It's a great question. So I think that the one that I'm really concerned about, I'll round it up and I'll say that fourth line, I actually think the Sabres have a pretty good, relative to the rest of the league, top nine, right? They don't have the top end talent, but they really do have depth, and they can roll. This should be a team where you're rolling four lines. The problem is they have three lines. That to me is clear as day. And that Krebs Lafferty combination that they're working with on the fourth line, I beg you to go look at their numbers over the first five, six games playing together. Ghastly would be an understatement, and that's another one that needs to go into the garbage bin now and forever. I know guys like Lafferty, they're discount, they're cheap ads. You try and plug them on a fourth line, and you say, hey, look, as a 12th forward, he's a better option than a replacement-level player. The concern there is twofold. One, I'm not even sure that's true. I think they probably have as effective players, if not more, in their farm ranks. You can only carry a 25% expected goal rate for so long before you end up in the minors.
Oof.
But the other concern is the anchoring effect, right? If he's playing a bit with Krebs and a younger guy, but not so young anymore, right? And he's been feeling coming off bad injuries and trying to get his game together. That's a recipe for disaster. I would say the other side of that coin. You got it. JJ Paterka looks great, man.
My guy.
To your point, he should be great. We were betting on him being great, but the goal scoring's there. The on ice numbers have been incredible. That line has been that line is a reason why they are not in the cellar right now, considering the special teams problems, considering the fourth line problems. Devon Levy gets bombed out of a couple games. There haven't been a lot of wins, but Paterka's line in particular has been really productive, especially at even strength. And I think that's really exciting, because part of this Buffalo hope was, we don't need every one of these young players to hit, but we need the majority of them, and this just moves that discussion further along in a good way.
Yeah. Well, I'll offer this up in their defense on that fourth line. It's an odd ball thing now with Krebs in there. Aubé Kubel was on a wing there, and Lafferty was centering it with Malenstein, and the idea was that line was going to wear people down, physical, fast, all that sort of stuff, and Aubé Kubel didn't make it through two games, and so he looks like he may be back soon, and I would assume they'll put that band back together and give that a fresh start. I don't know what their numbers looked like while he was playing with them before the lines got jumbled, but nonetheless, that was the plan.
He only played, I think he only had one, I think he only played one or two games with the Sabres,
right.
And you're right, he's the anchor of that line, so it's a fair point, but I would say this, if you lose Aubé Kubel and it completely blows up your fourth line plan,
yikes.
That is a bigger problem than, you know what I mean? That's the bigger concern there. It's not, hey, in a perfect setting, can we have this armed fourth line that's physical and fast? Yeah, maybe. I fully concede that. But if you are betting on one guy to be the anchor on that line, either your depth's not as good as you think it is, or there are better options elsewhere. And I'm quickly leaning towards the latter on that.
Sabres home to Dallas tonight. Not the same, but a thought was triggered when you made that point about Obey Kubel. If it comes down to him, I was saying this about Shakir after that game in Houston, Travis, switching to the Bills. Like, it's a little bit unsettling to think maybe this Bills offense can't be anything if Khalil Shakir doesn't play. He's that important? It's just sort of like, really? We have to talk about that. And I think he's good. They had a much more efficient game, of course, here Sunday than they've had in a while with Tennessee. How optimistic are you at this point, week 7?
Man, I'll tell you, I'm still pretty optimistic. There's two things, though, that stand out with that team. And I think the Shakir point is the same page of the same book of the point I'm about to make. Man, these guys get zero, speaking of zero power play goals, zero separation running routes. I watch, it must be maddening to you guys the same way it is. I throw on a Chiefs, and I know it's easy to say this, I throw on a Chiefs game, and it's like, oh, there goes Smith-Schuster. There's not a guy within 25 yards of him, and this happens 6 times a game. And then I watch a Bills game, and it's like, how many balls can I see thrown to Mac Hollins? Not even to pick on Mac Hollins. Curtis Samuel screens. The guys are glued. And honest to goodness, the front office can say whatever they want. And I think they've done a really good job pull up. But, like, the reason why the Amari Cooper trade happened is I think they knew within a week or two, if not sooner, this ain't going to work, like, period. Like, there are no easy answers on the Buffalo offense. And I think the hope that everyone has is that Cooper, not only – I mean, I fully trust that him and Allen are just going to be clicking 24-7. The question really, I think, is does it pay dividends for Coleman and Hollins and Shakir and the rest of the guys and Samuel further down the lineup? You know, against the Titans, it did. And I don't diminish that. I think the Titans actually have a really good defense. And I think the numbers actually back that up. But the lack of separation is a real concern. And the other concern, which is less so about the Bills, but more so about what's around them. You know, I don't want to say this is a punt year, but I don't think any Bills fans, I think understanding the cap dynamics, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to call this a transition at 26 or whatever. They're still one of the best teams in the league, which is awesome. But, man, you watch a Ravens game, I don't know. For years, I've always felt like not only are they comparable teams, when Buffalo's played Baltimore, I've always felt like, I think they match up decent against them. Holy cow, do I not feel that way this year? And easier to say now in retrospect after that beating. But there's just a couple – it's not just the Chiefs anymore within their conference, right? Like the Ravens, I really think, are a better team right now. And even if you think, okay, the Texans are close and with Amari, Bills full ahead, best-case scenario puts them third in the AFC. I know the quarterback talent skews to the AFC, and maybe that makes them – fourth or fifth best in the league once you bring in a Detroit or Minnesota, whatever. But they just still feel on the outside looking in the context of Super Bowl contenders, and I think that's the only disappointing piece of this.
The football season is such a ride. Like the Bills win on Sunday to get to 5-2. We worked through yesterday feeling good. Amari Cooper's here, caught a touchdown in his first game as a Bill. Then I go home and watch the Ravens, and I'm pretty shook. And then I come to work, and it's Cooper Kupp may get traded, and I'm thinking about the Chiefs. And it's just like there's just always something around the next corner.
You're not kidding. I want to ask you a question. There's one other thing that gives me regular heartburn in a way that I don't know. I feel like it shouldn't. Do you guys ever get warm and fuzzies watching Sam Martin punt? I mean, I know a lot of focus on Tyler Bass in the early season misses, and maybe understandably so. But, man, does it feel like once a game Sam Martin hits a 25-yard punt? Because it certainly feels that way to me.
He got angry at one point on Sunday. It looked like on TV. I can't remember what it was.
I can't cop to having noticed that myself, Travis.
Yeah, that's something you should be able to shake, I think.
That's a personal problem, is what you tell me.
Punting woes notwithstanding, they're still in it. I mean, it's always going to be about the playoffs this year, and with the Sabres, we're just hoping to see them ever make it. So, interesting times. How are you, Travis? How's running going and whatever else before we part here?
Running's going great. Just got done with Chicago. That was a blast. Anyone who is a distance runner, I recommend Chicago above most, including Boston. I thought it was that good. Atmosphere's incredible. The hockey team's horrendous, so don't schedule a game around the run. Go to a Bulls game if you can make it work. But the running is incredible. It's feverish right now. likely be this way for about 4 or 5 more weeks. And you know, when I'm not running or doing this, you know what my new hobby has become in the last couple of years? Really, really hate watching the Jets and watching them lose every single week and them coming up with new reasons and excuses. I got to say, it's a passion of mine. It's just as important of seeing a Bills win on a Sunday as it is a Jets loss at this point. Am I that petty? Maybe, but I don't. It's not lost on me. They were the AFC East favorites, right? How many games are they back now?
You guys
do the math on
three, two, and five.
Half, right?
Sure.
3.5?
Right.
Nice.
All right, Travis, great to talk to you again. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Travis Yost, TSN. Man, I wasn't about to guess at what his new hobby was, but I really wanted to be flipping furniture. That would have been incredible. Yeah, I'm refurbishing credenzas and selling them to my neighbors. Well, that would have been an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, that would have been something, yes.
We'll open up the phone lines next, 803-0550. The Bills and the Ravens are an interesting comparison, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Bulldog brought up Cooper Kupp. Okay. The Bills have 2 second-round picks. That's reportedly what they want. No way, right? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Hope to hear from you next after the update. Ross Tucker at 5, Sabres pregame at 6 here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.